Hello and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show, coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is an award-winning author, lecturer, filmmaker, and internationally recognized specialist on the Nephilim, L.A. Marzulli. Our co-host today is Maricela Woodall. And now, live from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, here's your host, Ricky Baker.
Hello, you're watching Jim Baker's PTL Television Network. You are not going to want to touch that dial today. We have L.A. Marzulli in the house with us today via Skype. We're excited to have him on with us today. L.A., how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Awesome. It's always a blessing. If you don't know who L.A. Marzulli is, he is an award-winning author, lecturer, filmmaker, and internationally recognized specialist on the Nephilim, the giants mentioned in the Bible. He has written 13 books and received an honorary doctorate in recognition of his research. He has also hosted, produced, and directed 30 films and is
Incredible.
The only Christian ministry to have 10 films on the UAP UFO phenomenon.
That's incredible.
You do truly a phenomenal work, Mr. Marzulli. We want to thank you for what you do for the kingdom of God.
Man, hi, LA. Welcome back to the broadcast. I was telling my brother Ricky, I said, listen, I'm like, you, anytime you've come to Morningside, you and Pastor Jim, the conversations you're having in the green room, but Dad has always said, he's like, LA, he's a man who dares to go where no other man might not go, but you have truly brought to life those mysteries, even sometimes when we look and we read Genesis, you know, the Nephilim, or reading these scriptures, but you break it down. Not only do you break it down and teach and preach, but you have actually taken us through your documentaries, through the many works that you've done. You have taken us on a discovery. And so this is incredible. We're so excited to have you here today with us and to update on us what's happening, what's going on. There's so much. I remember the times no one used to talk about UFOs. If you did, the church didn't talk about it.
That's
but
right.
Now who doesn't? We are being forced to understand the days that we're living in and from a biblical perspective, and that's what you're going to help us understand today. So
that's
welcome back to the program. It's wonderful to have you.
Thank you. I will do my best.
Yes, Ellie, why is it important that we have a biblical worldview and not a world's worldview, especially in the times we're living in?
Well, I think, first of all, I call the Bible the guidebook of the supernatural. What I mean by that, you know, Bible just means book. When we read the pages from Genesis to Revelation, we are told how to interact with the supernatural, what to stay away from, like necromancy, familiar spirits, and I could go on, what to embrace, obviously the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit. We're talked about salvation, what Jesus did for us, how it works, what we're supposed to do as believers. I mean, it's a very complex book, and I've been reading it for 44 years, and I feel like in some ways I've just scratched the surface. It's new every morning. So there are, when we look at everything through a biblical prophetic lens, that creates our worldview. That is my worldview. So I filter everything, all news I see, every bit of information that comes across my desk, someone says something to me. It will be filtered through that biblical prophetic lens always. Now, before I was a Christian 44 years ago, that was not the case, but now it is the case. And in my opinion, what's in the pages of the Bible between Genesis and Revelation is the truth. That book is the truth.
Amen.
The truth is in there. And it's very important, especially in the days that we live in, because of AI, and we'll probably get into that later, you can no longer discern what you're looking at, whether this is real, whether it's been fabricated, whether it's AI, we have no idea. So we've crossed a Rubicon here. We've crossed a line in the sand that it's difficult to know what the truth is. And that's why I lean even more now than ever before than what's in the pages of that book.
Amen. You know, if you're watching this broadcast today, you're not going to want to miss this entire hour. We're going to go places, I believe, that no other Christian network would dare to go because we want to bring you the fullness of the truth of what's happening around us. Now, we're talking about a biblical worldview, LA, and I want to, you know, bring this up right at the beginning of the show. What do we make of the hostile environment in our universities, the anti-Semitism that's occurring? We have lost a biblical worldview on Israel to the point where we're letting this happen in our country.
And that's, it's tragic in some ways. There's a saying that the Lord gave me years ago when I was writing Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural Report. And basically that is this, that what we see forming in the world can be directly related to supernatural events. In other words, this anti-Semitism that's rearing its head in college campuses, there's a supernatural component to it. Why? Because out of the 12 tribes of Israel, out of the tribe of Judah, Messiah came. Now, most people won't articulate that, who are waving flags and saying, from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free, which, by the way, is total genocide. Because what we're looking at here, from the river, that's the Jordan River, that's the border, eastern border of Israel, and to the sea, that's the Mediterranean Sea. So if they're saying from the river to the sea, there is no Israel, well, they're promulgating genocide. What's at stake here is this, that the reason for the hatred, the reason why the anti-Semitism is there, the reason for the vitriol is because there's a supernatural component to it. Messiah came from Israel. Jesus is a Jew from the tribe of Judah. He created salvation for us. He became death for us. God died on that cross 2,000 years ago. That is the gateway for all human beings to salvation. They hate that. The enemy of our souls, the dragon, Satan, hates that. Hates the fact that he was defeated at the cross. No one saw it coming. The dragon certainly never saw it coming. Figured, well, you can't kill God. How's that going to work? But in fact, God died that day. We know that from an artifact called the Shroud of Turin. I keep this right on my Bible. This is my bookmark. That's a picture of the shroud. I call it God's calling card. It's the real deal, in my opinion. That cloth was found in the tomb. It's 2,000 years old. It's not a photograph. No one knows how it was done. And I believe it was done by a burst of energy in that tomb. And that's a three-hour conversation, and we don't have time to get into it. But the anti-Semitism has a supernatural component to it, and I think I've just unpacked that.
Wow. Amen. It does absolutely have a supernatural component. Now, you discovered something about Gaza. Now, this is very, very interesting. Would you be willing to share it with us on this broadcast?
Absolutely. And here's my caveat. I am not saying in any way, shape, or form that the people in Gaza are remnants of a Nephilim or have Nephilim gene in them. That's a very slippery slope. I'm not stating that at all. What I am stating is that there's a territorial spirit that has never been deposed ever in the history of the world. You go back 3,500 years ago when Joshua and Caleb are pressing the conquest of the Holy Land, the conquest of Canaan. This is from Joshua 11, verse 21 and 22. And Joshua came at that time and cut off the Anakim from the hill country. The Anakim is another, means long neck. That is a Nephilim tribe from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the hill country of Judah, and from all the hill country of Israel. Joshua devoted them to destruction with their cities. There was none of the Anakim left in the land of the people of Israel. Only in Gaza, in Gath, and Ashdod did some remain. And it goes on from there. I mean, you've got to do a deep study. In other words, Joshua and Caleb never, never went into Gaza. That's the same Gaza that we have today, folks. They never conquered the Nephilim tribes. Instead, the Nephilim tribes fled, and they went westward. They went into the Mediterranean, finally into the New World, into the Americas. Again, that's a very complex discussion. We've written a book on it called On the Trail of the Nephilim. What I'm stating is this. There's the territorial spirit that is reigned over that area for centuries. And isn't it interesting that the type of heinous acts that were created on October 7th that were carried out by Hamas, which, I mean, the imagination pales. This is utterly demonic. And it makes one wonder, how could human beings do this to another human being? It really begs the question. So that ancient territorial spirit, which has been over that territory, Gaza, and those other cities, were never conquered by the children of Israel. Isn't it interesting that here we are 2,000 years later, and we're faced with something that should have been taken care of 3,500 years ago, but wasn't?
It wow. wasn't. It's you know, powerful. The Iranians are using the ancient site of Baalbek, which is in Lebanon. Can you tell us why this is important?
When I saw that, I about fell out of my chair, because Baalbek is a very ancient site. at that site are the two, well, it's actually one stone. They call it the stone of the pregnant woman. This thing is at an angle like this, and you can fit 30, 40, 50 people in front of that thing. It was never placed into the temple. If you go and you just Google Baalbek in Lebanon, you pictures for yourself with the huge megalithic stones that are part of the foundation wall. I believe what we're looking at is pre-flood. An archaeologist recently, several years ago, actually excavated around the stone of the pregnant woman, and they found two stones that were there that were larger than the stone of the pregnant woman. This is a Nephilim site. There's no doubt about it in my mind. The original site is megalithic. It's ancient. I believe it's pre-flood. That's conjecture, but I believe it's pre-flood. Isn't it interesting that the enemies of Israel chose Baalbek to bring their munitions, their rocket parts, and to use that as a launch pad to assemble rockets and do other things? The present political landscape is in direct correlation to supernatural events that happened in some cases millennia ago. I'll say it again. The present political landscape is in direct correlation to supernatural events that happened in some cases millennia ago. So the Iranians are Shia Muslim. They're Shia. And what they believe is different from the Sunni Muslims. The Sunni Muslims are the majority. The Shia are the minority. They believe in supernatural events that happened millennia ago, right? Muhammad receiving the Quran. That sets up the body politic. That sets up the paradigm in which the Iranians are executing everything from. That's their worldview. Conversely, the Israelis, and not all of them, many of them are secular, but that land was given to Israel thousands of years ago. We know that. That's the Abrahamic covenant, absolutely given to them thousands of years ago, all based on supernatural events that happened. Moses receiving the Ten Commandments, Joshua and Caleb leading the conquest of Canaan. Conversely, here in the United States, we are Christians. We believe in supernatural events that happened 2,000 years ago, i.e. the death and resurrection of our Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. So that has colored the body politic in America. Therefore, that saying that I just came up with and just told you, actually the Holy Spirit gave me that years ago, the present political landscape is in direct correlation to those supernatural events. That's why the vitriol from it makes no sense at all. Why do the Iranians hate the Jews so much? Why do the Egyptians stand up and yell at the top of their lungs to Jerusalem we go, martyrs in the millions? What is the driving force? They are supernatural events that have colored the body politic and is affecting what we see happening right now in modernity.
That's right. Wow. You know, we see in Matthew 24, verse 37 through 39, Jesus is saying that it will be like it was in the days of Noah. We see that also. We jump all the way back to Genesis 6, verses 4. They're talking about Nephilim being on the earth before the flood happened. Now, a lot of people will speculate. They'll say, well, we won't actually see true giants on the earth again before the second return of Christ. We won't actually see Nephilim on the earth again. What would you say to somebody who's saying, you know what, that's just a metaphor. That's not actually something that's going to happen here on our physical present earth?
It is not a metaphor. It's the seed war is continuing. The seed war continues from Genesis 3:15 up to the book of Revelation. The seed war is ongoing now. Daniel 2:43 says, their seed will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not cleave to them. Whose seed is Daniel talking about? Is the angel talking about in the book of Daniel? That book has been sealed until the time of the end. The angel gives Daniel a supernatural clue what the time of the end will look like. Men and women will run to and fro over the face of the earth. Knowledge will increase. We're here. That book is unsealed. And in order to understand Daniel 2:43, one has to go to the springboard. And I learned this from Gary Sturman years ago at one of our Nephilim Mounds conferences. Genesis 3:15, Adam and Eve have just done the unthinkable. They have sided with the dragon. They are terrified. They are hiding from the Lord. They are in the garden. You've got the pre-incarnate Christ who is there in the garden, and you've got the dragon also in the garden. So it's a little vignette. The pre-incarnate Christ looks at Satan, looks at the dragon and said, your seed, your offspring will be at war, at enmity with the offspring of the woman. He, the proto-evangelion, the Messiah, will crush the dragon's head you will bruise his heel. Three chapters later, the whole thing explodes. It's a seed war. It's not taught in the churches. Most people don't even know about it. But that seed war, Genesis 3:15, is the springboard to the entire biblical prophetic narrative. If we don't understand Genesis 3:15, then when we get the passages when Jesus says it'll be like the days of Noah, oh, that's just metaphor. No, it's not metaphor. It's exactly like the days of Noah. The commingling of the seed is happening, absolutely happening. It's in our films on the abduction phenomena, where women are taken, men are taken, sperm is taken from the men, ovum is taken from the women. There is a breeding program that is going on. Hybrids are walking amongst us. In our film, in the Watchers series, when we exposed the Kandahar giant, that thing was 12 feet tall. We don't know how old it was. We don't know where it came from. We also have another witness that came on my show recently, on our YouTube show. This man's grandmother lived at Kandahar. She was a witch. Okay, she was a witch. She would go to the cave where the giant comes out of and leave offerings so the giant would stay near the cave and not bother the village. Am I making this stuff up? That thing was 12 feet tall. I have had numerous other witnesses to that incident come forward to me and talk to me about that, including someone from Special Forces.
Wow. You know, if you're watching this right now, these are some heavy topics, but this is the world we're living in, friend. This is the reality of what we're living in. The Bible has laid this all out plainly for us to see, and Ellie put it so beautifully. These aren't just metaphors. No, these are legitimate things that are happening. We are truly living in the days of Noah. You know, I see in Isaiah 17 here, it says, look, Damascus is no longer a city. It has become a ruined heap. Now, we're seeing that Israel is threatening to destroy Damascus. Is this a prophetic event if they do it?
Absolutely, it's a prophetic event. Once again, many churches, because of their amillennial view and their replacement theology, don't understand what's written in the guidebook of a supernatural, i.e. our Bibles. It says very clearly in Isaiah 17 that Damascus will become a ruinous heap. So that's thousands of years ago. Fast forward to modernity. Recently, Israel has stated to Iran, if you do this, we will destroy Damascus. They've already hit the airport. They've done other strikes in and around Damascus. But what we're looking at is total destruction, complete and utter destruction of Damascus. That prophecy, Isaiah 17, has never been fulfilled. So as a researcher, as a one who embraces the biblical prophetic narrative, I know that scripture by heart, and I watch. I'm not date setting, not calling it this is going to be it. We don't know. We don't know what the future holds. That's why we watch and wait. But I look at everything, once again, from that biblical prophetic lens. And what was written thousands of years ago in Isaiah, specifically Isaiah 17, that prophecy's never been fulfilled. Now, you can go online and you can Google that, and there are plenty of so-called Christian pundits who will give you 50 reasons why that prophecy was fulfilled thousands of years ago. It's never been fulfilled. It's never been a ruinous heap. We show a video when I'm at conferences speaking about the days of chaos. And that video shows the suburbs in and around Damascus, which have become a ruinous heap. But Damascus proper is still standing. The airport still functions. Iran is still moving missiles and equipment and all sorts of military gear into Damascus, from Damascus over to Syria. I'm sorry, to Damascus over to Lebanon. Damascus is in Syria. I stand corrected. So it moves from Syria into Lebanon. And this is, you know, what people don't understand, when the IDF finishes the cleanup in Rafah, which is what they're doing now, they need to cut the head off the snake, Hamas. They need to do that because Hamas is never going to change its spots, guaranteed, no matter what happens. Hamas hates Israel. All they care about is killing Jews. That's all they care about. That's it. And they will do everything in their power to do that. And we've seen that demonstrated on October 7th. And yet the world doesn't talk about that. They only talk about those bad Israelis who, you know, aren't standing down. No, the Israelis didn't start this, number one. Number one, Hamas did. And Hamas needs to be utterly destroyed. Once that happens, all eyes go north. Why? You've got 60 to 70,000 Israelis who have been displaced since October 7th, because immediately rockets came over, mortar fire came over. Those cities have been, for the most part, abandoned, which means that there's no school, The crops aren't being harvested. There's no industry. People aren't paying their mortgages. Everything's shut down in the north. Israel, once they do the once the IDF cleans up Rafah and it's secured, they will go north. All eyes on the Lebanese border. The question is this. Originally, there was an agreement for Hezbollah, which is really Iran's proxy, by the way, to stand down and to move back 15 miles to the Litani River. Well, that's not happening. And every day, I mean, just think if you lived in El Paso, Texas, and every day mortar fire was coming across the border, every day rockets were being fired, what would you do? But no one talks about that. Well, welcome to, you know, places like Kiryat Shemona in the northern part of Israel. We were supposed to be in Israel on October 9th. We were leaving on the 7th from the Prophecy Watchers Conference to go to Atlanta to bivouac there. And then the next day, which would have been Sunday, we would have flown to Israel. And obviously the tour got called off. Our tour is a Nephilim tour. I'm a trail of a Nephilim. We spend a lot of time in the northern parts of Israel. Can't go there anymore. You cannot go there. So Israel, all eyes will be on the north to push back Hezbollah. To basically, they've got to eradicate them because Hezbollah is not going to hold to that treaty, which was done years ago, to not advance past the Litani River. 15 miles is nothing. You can cover that in a half an hour or less. Give me a break. And missiles can be fired across the Litani River. So it'd be very interesting what the IDF does. In the meantime, Iran knows this. Russia is already there with the Iranians. Recently, there was a strike in Iran from the Israeli Air Force, and they basically flew circles around what the Iranians could do. And the Iranians had the latest Russian S-400 anti-missile system, which didn't even detect the planes coming in. They fired after the Israelis were leaving. So, I mean, it really sent a message to the world that the United States is still very much the leader. China took note of that. The Russians took note of that. The Iranians took note of that. The wild card here is Turkey. That's the wild card. And Hamas is already in bed with Turkey. So you get this very weird mix. Turkey has a standing air force. They've got a lot of troops. The Ezekiel 38-39 prophecy, the three nations that we see, and I have a picture of Erdogan from Turkey, Putin from Russia, and President Raisi from Iran, all on the same stage together. Why is this anomalous? I'll tell you why. Because Turkey is Sunni Muslim, and the Sunnis are the majority. And the Sunni and the Shia have been at odds with each other basically for 1,300 years. Iran, as I stated earlier, are Shia Muslim. And they're on the same stage together? That's the Ezekiel 38 war. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Everybody might just stand down and may all go away. But then again, it might not. Because the three leading nations that we read about in the Ezekiel 38 and 39 prophecy are standing on the stage together.
That's right.
Putin, Raisi from Iran, and Erdogan from Turkey. That is right. Unprecedented. And the fact that Turkey and Iran are on the same stage, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, ancient Middle Eastern saying.
That's right.
And they're a common enemy, even though they hate each other because of their theological differences in Islam, they look at Israel and they hate Israel even more. Once again, the body politic has been colored by supernatural events that happened in some cases millennia ago. That's why the vitriol. That's why the anti-Semitism. That's why the hatred.
That's right. You know, in 1999, Pastor Jim Baker was given a dream from the Lord where he was given 31 things. And one of those 31 things was watch Turkey. Now, in 1999, Turkey wasn't really a country that needed to be watched. So he wrote it down as the Lord prompted him. But a lot of ministers were saying, well, Pastor Jim, you think you got that one right? Why watch Turkey? We are seeing now it is critical to be watching right. Turkey. The Lord gave him insight. He is a watchman on the wall, and we are seeing those 31 things truly be unfolded. You know, we have a video of Pastor Jim Baker. I believe it's critical to play this because he has been watching and warning the body of Christ for decades now. And I believe it is time that the American church wake up and realize it's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows, friend, that there is truly a spiritual battle we are facing, and it is culminating in the physical world we live in. Watch this.
The world is in deep trouble.
Get out of here.
Do you realize the biggest thing that's going to cause people to go to war is hunger, food?
I was going to say, if you think the rioting is bad now, just wait till they're hungry.
Nearly 282 million.
The latest global report on food crisis is a roll call of human failings. In a world of plenty, children are starving to death.
But I'm warning them today because it's coming. It's not too many months away. Mm-hmm. And I want people just to know, be prepared.
Right.
Yes.
Everything in the Bible, God always had his people prepared. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am so upset over what God is telling me and showing me. In the old days, even, I had people call me the prophet of doom because I would prophesy things that are coming. The end times are really, really bad. I don't think people understand. The day of Noah, they were just like today. They were living in reprobate sin.
Shoplifting is so bad, you have to ask a cashier for detergent. In the Northeast, there has been a 500% increase in sexual offences since 2014. Stalking and harassment has gone up 6,000%.
St. Louis County police are investigating an early morning home invasion where a homeowner shot a man breaking into his North St. Louis County home.
All hell is going to break loose.
The operation to eliminate Hamas in Rafah continues at a steady pace. Hundreds of thousands of Gazans are fleeing the war zone. Israel has long accused the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA, of collaborating with Hamas. Now it's releasing video of Hamas terrorists operating next to UN vehicles at an UNRWA facility in Rafah. Yeah.
There's going to be bombs. There's going to be floods.
Tonight, chaos mounting in flood-ravaged Brazil, where as swollen rivers rise yet again, police patrol submerged streets desperate to stop looters. Brazilian officials say close to 150 people have died and roughly 130 are still missing in the widespread floods.
There's going to be things that, like we've never seen before, earthquakes, volcanoes, all these things are going to happen because the Bible says so.
Wow.
You know, those are words from your friend, Pastor Jim Baker. He has been a watchman on the wall for many, many years, decades, saying, church, it is that we prepare. It's time that we are the storehouse for the believer. It's time that we are the hospitals, that we are the places where people come and seek spiritual preparation. You know, we were just filmed a show with Cindy Jacobs. If you can go on our video on demand, you need to watch that. But she brought a staggering, statistic to us that there have been so many mosques opening up. I mean, where if a city maybe had 5 at one point, they have 20 plus at this point. Friend, we need to make sure that we are opening churches. The churches were shut down during the last pandemic that we saw. Right. We saw, Mondo brings the number, I believe it's in the thousands of churches that shut down that have not reopened. Believer, it is time for us to reopen those churches. It is time for us to retake the ground.
Amen.
That this is a Christian nation and we will stand by biblical principles. We will stand with a biblical worldview. You know, Pastor Jim Baker has believed in preparation, and I believe in preparation as well. You know, I love it because I don't just believe in it, Marcella, because my father believed in it. I believe in it because I have seen the necessary need for the church to be prepared. I wouldn't come up here and say something that I personally don't believe in. I love that the Lord gave me the revelation. Just as he has given you the revelation, it is time to prepare the body of Christ. There is something that Pastor Jim Baker believes in and we believe in as well. We have something here that you need to have for your family. I have one. I know Marcella has one. Pastor Jim Baker has one. This is important that we have power in these times. We have a generator that Pastor Jim Baker is passionate about so that you can make sure that your family's prepared in any type of natural disaster or non-natural disaster. But I want you to watch this. This is something Pastor Jim Baker is passionate about.
We are in a first alert weather mode as the Sierra Nevada braces for extreme weather.
A strong atmospheric river storm slamming into California. The storm covering streets and bringing down trees and electrical lines across the region.
What would that do if America was power outage for a year? What would happen to the state of America?
We calculated that if we had a blackout that lasted a year in the United States, a nationwide blackout, it could kill 9 of 10 Americans, 90% of our population.
What happens when that fragile infrastructure doesn't work anymore?
The answer is, if you're not prepared, well, you're going to be in trouble. We have the ability to do something,
right?
That's the foundation for Lion Energy.
go to our website. That's jimbakershow.com. Click on Shop Our Affiliates. You're going to find Lion Energy, the affiliate site. And open it up. Start scrolling and reading and researching. But more importantly, what's able to bring us options to you today is the financing opportunities that your company has provided to every partner.
That's right.
They've made it available that you can go onto our website. You can click on any unit, individual units, accessories, and you will have access to financing today.
Mondo looks like he's cooking
Listen,
up something.
I am. Yes. Everywhere there's food, that's where you're going to find
that's
me.
Right.
We want to show you how easy, how peace of mind works.
Yes.
Anytime you have things that are familiar to your home,
right,
you're going to know that this is the unit that you want to have as a friend.
These are normal, everyday things that we want to make sure that it can truly help to meet
That's
the
right.
needs that you have.
Not only cooking items, but you have, you know, also items that you have in your garage, in the blower. And this, look at that.
Wow.
I'm going to do it again.
Right. Come on.
That's blowing. That's pretty powerful.
It's
I'm going to plug
yep.
that in, and then I'm going to move over here. You're wearing a suit. You're not allowed to work today. I'm going to turn it on, and I want you to follow me.
Yeah,
I got some
lineman.
Screws right here, and you're going to see that all that is being plugged in.
That's right.
You ready?
Leave it alive.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's do it.
The fan remains
Ta-da! Running. You can eat, you can have comfort,
have light.
You can have light, you can have a television giving you information in the news, start
your
charging
laptop,
your cell phone, right? Yes. Being able to have a fan, being able to have lights, being able to function with your power tools, being able to cook.
That's right.
These are items that make home feel like home.
Listen, but we want you to go to our website. It's jimbakershow.com. Click on the affiliate link with Lion Energy. They have pre-built packages and awesome, awesome deals there. But you can also add additional items. You can build your own kits there. So I want you to go there. Remember to also call that toll-free number if you need help. That number is 385-273-1385.
We believe the church should be prepared. Go and visit that website and make sure you are preparing for yourself, for your community, and for your church body. If you are just tuning in, you're watching Jim Baker's PTL Television Network. We have L.A. Marzulli with us today, and we're about to dive into a topic that is taking the world by storm. You know, L.A., in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, it said that in the end times, men are going to be running to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. Now, with the advance of AI seemingly everywhere, why are you alarmed by this?
Because we can no longer tell what the truth is. And this is really problematic. I'll just give you an example. Oh, 6-8 months ago, I got an email from someone, a good friend of mine. And she said, you know, LA, is this real? And it showed a picture. And it's always something like this. I found this picture in a trunk in my grandfather's attic. And his father, you know, was a prospector, blah, 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 blah. And this thing's been laying in there for 150 years. That's something like that, right? And it shows this disheveled man, probably early 30s, long hair, a beard, tattered clothes, barefoot, and he's in the middle of nowhere, okay? Next to him is a 12-foot Sasquatch with a bum knee, something, the knee has been bandaged, the Sasquatch is leaning on a cane, and the two of them are like this, they're best friends. And it looks absolutely real. Absolutely. To me, because I'm a filmmaker, I was immediately suspicious, because it looked like Photoshop on some level, okay? And it was AI generated. That's 8 months ago, six, 8 months ago. Now, a friend of mine sent me a video of a woman who was speaking, and just like I'm speaking right now, except it was AI generated, and there's no way to tell. There's no way to tell. I couldn't tell anymore. It looked real. And so what that does is it blurs the truth. Truth is thrown to the street. That's prophetic in the last days. So we're here, and this opens up. Look, I can go to AI, you know, and I can type in the guidelines for a book and what, or a screenplay. Half an hour later, I've got the screenplay. I've got a rough draft of a screenplay. I mean, how does that work? a rough draft for a book. I mean, and I've seen it. I mean, I've seen people do things like this, and it's unbelievable. So AI is, in my opinion, a Rubicon, a line in the sand. And I realize some people say, well, you know, people were saying that when the chips and the credit cards came out, this was the mark of the beast. I never believed it was the mark of the beast. I think the mark is something else. We actually took out an implant of someone who was abducted, and that implant was placed inside of him, about the size of a grain of rice. That's what I think the mark of the beast is, but I digress. So AI changes the landscape in ways that we don't even know. I mean, let's say you see someone and they're doing this incredible dance. Well, you know, how do you, like ballet or something, or ice skating, figure skating? How do you know that's real? This is where we are. You don't know anymore. Or someone singing, or someone, you know, doing anything. And this is where, you know, the Bible tells us truth is thrown to the street. And in my opinion, that's exactly what we see now. Because people don't know what the truth is anymore. It's very hard to ascertain.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Like you said, it is blurring reality. And if you're watching this, you're saying, well, you know, I've seen some videos that may look like this. What the internet's calling them now is they're called deep fake videos. The word deep, D-E-E-P, and then the word fake, F-A-K-E. I was testing my spelling ability right there. It's called a deep fake video. You know, we watched this with Governor Ron DeSantis whenever he was running for president of the United States. There was videos going out, circulating around X, around Facebook, where he's saying, oh, he has receded. He is no longer running for president at this point. But it wasn't true at that point. We now realize he'd later on in his campaign back off and say, I'm no longer running for president. But in that moment, it was a video of him sitting at his desk, and he was talking, and it seemed very normal. The only reason I was able to tell it was because there was a light flicker in the background that didn't look real. I said, oh, that's AI. We can just completely dismiss that. But it was scary that I had to investigate the video closely to even see if it was real. You know, LA, a recent Barna survey says that only 8% of Christians are interested in using AI to study the Bible. Should we be concerned that the intersection of faith and AI is happening? We see a church, not in America, where they're using AI to preach the gospel on Sunday mornings, and we see an alarming amount of pastors who are admitting to letting a software called ChatGPT write their sermons.
And I'm familiar with ChatGPT. I've seen it. I've worked with it a little bit. It's alarming because you're right. You can just type in a few words, and then poof, you've got an outline or, you know, several pages of work. I mean, and what this, again, it blurs reality. And this is why, in my opinion, the Lord has to come back at some point here. I mean, how far down the rabbit hole do we have to go before he comes and before he comes back? I mean, that's the question here. How bad does it have to get? And I think for me, AI is a line in the sand. I mean, that's because you can't tell what the truth is anymore. I mean, the average Joe on the street can't tell what the truth is. And the fact that pastors would lean to artificial intelligence, to AI, to get their sermon from, to get their teaching from, to me is incredibly abhorrent and anti-biblical, anti-Christian. A pastor's sermon should not come from AI.
Amen. That's
it
right.
Should come from waiting on the Spirit of a living God, the Holy Spirit, 100%. To lead and instruct. That's what it should come from.
That's right. Study to show yourself approved, not let a software write your sermon so you sound good on Sunday. Study to show yourself approved. Friends, there is a revelation that comes whenever you take the time to open this up. You know, I was with my flock of sheep. I have sheep. Nana was out there with me this morning. But before she got there, I was sitting with my sheep and I was reading the Word of God. And I realized, man, Christians, believers, we are really like these sheep. They're not very smart animals, but they follow their leader really, really well. But I was sitting there reading the Word of God and I just thanked the Lord. I said, God, thank you that I live in a country where I don't have to hide my Bible, that I can go on social media, let people know I am a believer in the one true only way to heaven, Jesus Christ, and that I can enjoy spending time with the creator of everything. Friend, look around the room. If you're sitting in a room, if you're sitting where you can see a window, look outside, look around your room and realize Everything that exists exists because God allowed it to exist. It is created because he is the creator. He was there in the beginning, and he is there at the end. Eternity is nothing to God, and we have the opportunity to become intimate with him. We have the opportunity to learn what his heart is like through this book right here. Friends, it is important that we study to show ourselves approved, because yes, a software might be able to write you a sermon in 35 seconds, but friend, the Holy Spirit will give you divine revelation for your congregation whenever you open this up and say, God, I want you to speak to me through this. That's an encouragement for you, Pastor. I promise you, don't take the shortcut. It's not worth it. There's going to be so many shortcuts, Pastor, that are going to pop up. And I'm not saying all artificial intelligence is a bad thing. I know it's helping some churches be able to make social media videos. It's helping companies be able to get the gospel out there faster and better. I'm not saying all AI is bad. I'm just saying, friend, don't take a shortcut when it comes to getting close to God, because there is no true shortcut. You have to have that time in the waiting. You have to have those moments where it's, you know what? A conversation isn't just a one-way street, friend. A lot of the times, especially whenever I was a new believer and I was praying, I would be praying and I say, God, I really need you to do X, Y, and Z. I really need X, Y, and Z to happen in my life. I'm believing for X, Y, and Z. And then I was done praying. I move on to the next thing. Friend, I realized the conversation with God has to be a two-way street where it says, God, today it's your turn to talk completely. I have nothing to say. I'm just going to sit here in the waiting and allow you to minister to me in whatever capacity it may be. Friends, sometimes that may be that he gives you a word of encouragement. Friends, that may be sometimes that he gives you a word of rebuke, and you must be willing to accept it all. Why? Because he's a good father. Yeah. He chastens us because he loves us. You know, we had Cindy Jacobs on a broadcast. I just love what she said. She goes, even I am praying, God, if there is any divisive ways in my heart, reveal them so I can remove them. Friend, that's a word that we must be constantly praying. We even see David in the Old Testament saying, God, search my heart in places that I don't even know are there for sin. Friend, we must make sure that we as the church are a blameless and a holy bride. We must make sure that our lamps are filled with oil so that when he comes back in the blink of an eye, we are prepared to meet him and spend eternity with him. There's nothing more important than your salvation, friend. If you're watching this right now, that is the most important thing. No amount of money, no amount of fame, no amount of influence, no amount of friends, nothing is in comparison to the vast gift that has been given to us. God looked down on an earth he realized was fallen. God looked down on an earth he realized was pretty far gone. And he said, you know what? I have a solution. Yes. I'm going to send my one and only son to live as a man, a perfect man, and to be fully God and fully man, but I'm going to have him bear the sins of the entire world on his shoulders. I'm going to have him bear the sins of the entire world on his back. I'm going to hang him on a cross, a place of humiliation in that day. Crucifixion was a humiliating process. I'm going to hang him up there, and I'm going to put this all on him. Why, friend? So that we can have be released of these things. Yeah. You don't have to live in bondage, friend. You don't have to live in turmoil. You don't have to live in pain anymore of the past decisions that you made. The Lord has taken those from you. Sometimes it's hard. Friends, we as believers say, God, I'm giving up all these ways, but we still drag the chains behind us. We still hold on to the ropes. We still allow things to dangle off of us. Believer, if you're going to walk in the fullness of what God has for you, you must be willing to let go. There's somebody watching right now. You're saying, well, you know what? I've done something in my life, and I feel like I don't deserve to let it go. I feel like I deserve to let this weigh on me because I did something bad. I'm telling you right now, you're watching this, you don't need to hold on to that anymore. The price has been paid. You don't even own it anymore. It doesn't belong to you. Amen. The price has been paid. Let go of it, friend. It doesn't belong to you. Yes. It does not belong to you. You need to walk in the fullness of what God has for you. There's a calling on your life. There is a mission that God has set before you, and you cannot go on this mission carrying that chain. You cannot go on this mission carrying that burden, friend. You must let go. I'm looking at you right now, and you're saying, hey, how does he know he's talking to me? I'm talking to you right now, friend. God has something big for you. Yeah. God has a plan for you. It's not worth being depressed. It's not worth considering taking your life. The Lord has something good for you. Release what it is that you are holding to him right now. It's simple. Just say, God, I'm holding this. I am gripping onto this because I feel like I must bear the shame in which this brought me and my family, but I am releasing it to you, and I trust you to bring me back to a place of restoration with my family, with my wife, and with my children right now in the name of Jesus. Friend, you're free. Friend, you are free. You are no longer have to carry that burden and that bondage because we walk in the fullness of what Christ has
Amen.
For us. LA, we're living in tumultuous times, hard times. We're living in times where it seems to be that if you are a Christian, it's getting more and more persecuted. We in America have a luxury that we're not truly being persecuted here, but we're seeing persecution across the globe. There are other countries where Christians, especially we're seeing African country, Christians are being hunted like sport. We have the luxury here in America to not face that type of persecution. But what do you say to a church who has become lackadaisical, to a church that has, you know, seemingly become lazy, where we think, oh, nothing like that is going to happen to us?
Well, that's prophetic, isn't it? The Laodicean church in the last days.
Yes.
You know, neither hot nor cold. And that's what we see. I was at a church a while back. I was just visiting there, and it was like a one-time deal. But worship was, hey, we're going to sing some songs right now. So the word worship was completely taken out. We're going to sing some songs. Well, they're not songs. We're worshiping. We're coming there to worship the Lord, the King of Kings, the one who died for us. The whole church exists because of what happened 2,000 years ago. We're not singing songs. And then they broke into the song, Life is a Highway, I'm going to Ride It All Night Long. I mean, seriously? On a worship service in a church? So, you know, that's like the whole feel-good deal where, you know, I come here and I feel good and, you know, Generation Z and coffee bars and free donuts and all this stuff. And it's they have a form of religion but deny its power. And a lot of a church, unfortunately, is like that today. In some ways, I understand what some of these pastors are trying to do. But what, like, you showed that clip where Jim was, you know, Pastor Jim was talking about the end times and that punch list, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places, famines, pestilence. We're here. But you don't hear that from most pulpits because it's not a feel-good message. And of course, in that little vignette that you show with Pastor Jim, you know, they call him the prophet of doom. Well, you know, I'm right there with him because people have called me the same thing. We are living Matthew 24. We are here. Wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, troublesome times. It'll be like the days of Noah. Let no one deceive you. Men will faint for fear of what is coming upon the earth. We are here, and yet you don't hear a sermon about it. I mean, most churches in my area in Southern California, they have replacement theology. So the church is now Israel, and you know Israel is off in the ozone, and we really don't care what happens there. And yet when I read the guidebook of a supernatural, When I start to plumb the depths of this book, what do I see? I see everything hinges around the nation of Israel. The end times prophecy hinges and revolves around the nation of Israel. I will gather you from the four corners of the earth and establish in your homeland. You know, I will plant them back in their land, never to be pulled out. People should read Amos 9, 14 and 15. Just read that. You know, I will take the captives of my people, Israel. They will rebuild the waste cities and inhabit them. They will plant vineyards and drink the wine. They will plant gardens and eat the fruit. I will plant them in their land, never again to be pulled out. I am the Lord. This is what I say. I'm not making this stuff up. That's thousands of years old. And here we are in 1948. Happy birthday, Israel. Happy birthday. We're here, you know, and we what we see is everything. What does prophecy tell us? That Jerusalem will be a cup of trembling? Welcome to where we are. That's exactly what we see. And yet it's not talked about in many churches. Some churches do, but most churches do not. And yet prophecy makes up almost one third of the biblical prophetic narrative.
That's right. You know, we see in Matthew 24, we see it in Mark 13, we see it in Luke 21. Whenever you have the disciples coming to Jesus and they say, tell us what it's going to be like before you return, he is always starting it off by saying, watch out that you are not deceived.
That's right.
What does that mean? There will be someone trying to deceive you. He wouldn't have to warn for it if that wasn't the case. Believer, watch out that you are not deceived. LA, I love what you said. You know, they say, I've heard it many times. We see it on social media as we see it on videos, you know, taking aim at the ministries. Oh, these are prophets of doom. No, believer, this is not doom. This is a message of eternal importance. Your soul is at stake here. This body's going to go away one day, friend, but your spirit man will live on forever. Where are you going to live on, friend? That's not a message that the church wants to preach. I don't hear this in big pulpits. You have to live somewhere, friend. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. That is the harsh reality of it. But friend, you have been given the opportunity to go to heaven at no cost to you. You can't pay it. You can't work it. You can't do enough good things in your life to go to heaven by your own accord, friend. You just can't. I'm not good enough. You're not good enough. But that's why Jesus Christ hung on the cross, so that we have that opportunity. Friend, you can live eternity with Jesus Christ. That is the most exciting thing. In 100 billion years to the nth degree, you will have the cognitive reasoning skills to understand heaven has just begun for me. Eternity has just barely scratched the surface for me and Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit, barely. But friends, on the other aspect, if you are living in a way you know that is not pleasing to the Holy Spirit, you have rejected God. Friend, in the same amount of time, hundreds of millions and millions of years, you will be sitting in hell with the cognitive reasoning ability to understand, my goodness, this has just scratched the surface and this has just begun for me. We don't want to see one person in hell. I don't care if you are currently anti whatever I am going for. If you're a Muslim man, if you're a homosexual man, if you're a man who doesn't align with my political views, friend, repent and believe the gospel.
Yes.
Repent and come into the fullness of what God has for you. You haven't gone too far. You know, I heard something on social media. I was watching a man's video, and excuse my crudeness, but he was referring to a people group, and he said, I hope they all go to hell. And I thought, man of God, you have that wrong. Man of God, you cannot be saying that type of stuff. No, friend, we hope that everybody comes into the fullness of what God has for them. We pray not one person loses their life and has to spend eternity in hell.
Amen.
I don't care if you are diametrically opposed to me right now in this moment. I do not care. I pray that you have an experience with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I pray you have an experience, a radical face-to-face interaction with Jesus Christ himself, where he's saying, come, son and daughter. Yes. You have run far, but that is not too far for me to meet you where you are and bring you into the fullness of who you're supposed to be. Friend, we as believers do not want one person to perish. We as believers do not want one person to end up in hell. It is why we're out here sounding the alarm. It is why we are out here on the wall watching, saying, friends, there's a storm coming. There is. There's no denying it. It's not a prophet of doom. Friend, this is saying this is reality now. It is not a metaphor, as L.A. Spoh perfectly put it. We are truly living in the days of Noah, a time that was so retrograde, a time that was so reprobate, a time that was so disgusting that God felt like he needed to press the reset button. There was DNA, transhumanism happening. Friends, we are living in those days once again. It is not a time to be fearful. It is a time to put on the full armor of God and stand there with more faith than you have ever had in your entire life. Pray that prayer every morning. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me with more faith than I had yesterday.
Yeah.
Friend, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, it's not some kid's story. It's not just a Sunday school story, friend. If you can stand there with the faith of a mustard seed and say, devil, I'm not giving you one more inch in my school district. Devil, I'm not giving you one more inch in my district of my county. Lord. I'm not giving you one more inch in my state. I'm not giving you one more inch in my country. Friend, I believe here in America, we can see a great revival. We saw wonderful revivals breaking out in college campuses. We are now seeing the opposition to that. We're seeing encampments, kids breaking into schools, holding school buildings hostage. Friend, the only thing that's going to change that isn't information. We can't out-information these people. Why? Because they truly believe what they stand for. They truly believe that Israel is a bad person, that they have just been oppressing the poor Palestinian people for so many years. They deserve all these bad things happening to them. They believe it, friend. The only thing that's going to change them is a radical encounter with the Holy Spirit, is a face-to-face encounter with the only way to heaven, Jesus Christ. We must be praying for that for these people, friend.
Yes.
We must be believing for that for these people, friend. LA, we're living in the last days. I truly believe it. I truly stand by that phrase because I believe we will see Jesus coming in his full glory. But you know what? There's people who are turning from God. There are people who may have been believers and they're saying, you know what? The church has hurt me too bad. I don't want to be a believer anymore. I don't identify as a Christian anymore. What would you say to someone who is watching right now? And they're saying, you know what? I've walked away from the church, but from what I've heard today, I need to maybe consider coming back to the church.
Well, I mean, it's coming back to a church, back to Jesus, back to the Lord. You know, if we trust in him, and we ask him to guide our steps and direct our life, he will do that. The Holy Spirit will chastise us sometimes or give us a word of encouragement and direct our steps in other ways. So when we do that, you know, it's funny. We live 70, 80, 90 years here, and then we're gone. You know, the wind blows and we are gone as if we were never here, Psalm 103. And, you know, I'll be 74. And, you know, I'm not morbid about it, but I've been walking with him for 44 years, and I'm closer to him now than I've ever been before. And I know where I'm going, but my hand is on the plow, and I look to him. Because if we allow him in our life, he will direct our paths. He will give us words of knowledge. He will show us who we are in some ways. And he does forgive us and he will love us. So, you know, God is love. And in him there is no darkness at all. And so, you know, people can be mad at the church, but don't be mad at God. And then you need to forgive. I remember one time I got booted out of a church, and I won't get into the story. This is like literally 34 years ago, okay? This happened. And I was mad at God. I was mad at the church. I was mad at everybody. And this lasted about a year. I was really bitter. And one day I'm driving down my canyon, and my Lord says, if you don't forgive them, I cannot forgive you either. And it was like cold water being thrown on me. I just went, whoa. And I got it. It was like a life lesson. The Lord had allowed me to stew and to be bitter for a year. And then when he finally spoke to me and he said, you know, if you don't forgive them, I can't forgive you. I got it. And this is why, for those of you who are out there and have an axe to grind with the church, put down the axe, bury the hatchet, make your peace with them, make your peace, more importantly, with the Lord. Come back to him because he loves you. We're all imperfect. We're all sinners. We all blow it. But the Prince of Peace gives us peace. And if you have bitterness in your life, if we have bitterness in our lives, there's no peace there. And you, for those of you who are watching and you have bitterness in your heart, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's no peace in your life. Forgive, get rid of the bitterness, and the Prince of Peace will come into you and give you peace that passes all understanding.
That's right. You know, it says right here in Matthew 6, verse 14, it says, for if you forgive others of their offense, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses. That is what LA was referring to. Very beautifully put. Believer, that is one of the weapons that we have as a Christian, is forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean that the other person's offense towards you was right. It doesn't mean that. It simply means you were free, friend. You know, there's a phrase we say here on the show, and it's, you're not fighting for victory, friend. You're fighting from victory. The battle has already been won for us, friend. We must stand there, hold our ground as Christians, forgive others, love others, want them to come back into the fullness of the calling that God has on their life. L.A. Marzulli, you are a man of God. We love having you on the broadcast. We want to thank you for being here with us. We got to have you back on. I think we had like six topics we were gonna go over. We went over like three of them. So we got to have you back on to cover the other topics.
I'd love to come back. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Awesome. God bless you. And if you're watching today, we want you to know that you're loved. You are cherished. We love you here at the PTL Television Network, the Jim Baker Family Show. And your friend Jim Baker loves you. He's always saying, how are my partners doing? How are my friends doing? Amen. And you guys are the reason that we get to continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. So I want to say thank you. I also want to say thank you to our monthly partners. You guys are the cream of the crop. You guys are the best. You guys keep us broadcasting the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to say thank you so much for your monthly dedication to this ministry, your monthly dedication to your friend, Jim Baker. And you know, there's a phrase he always says, like I said, I'm going to say it 1,000 more times. I won't get it right, but I want you to remember this. The famous words of Pastor Jim Baker, God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for today. LA, thank you for being on with us.